With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us here again at Abounding Grace, a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. Yesterday, I took up this subject of what are the special means that God has chosen to work faith in the heart. And I said that according to your view of salvation, if you view salvation in a very man-centered view, anything that God chooses to bless and God chooses to work through will take a back seat to that which we believe and we feel is most conducive to our own free wills. And so my point is that we devalue God's work of salvation and are constantly exalting our own selves when it comes to this great and glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to take credit for it. We want to say that we have somehow merited and earned this. And I think that has huge implications, my friends, on everything we believe about the gospel, about Christian practice, about how faith is worked in the heart, all of those things. But especially that last one, how the Lord chooses to produce faith in the heart. And so I went yesterday to John chapter 3, and most every evangelical Christian knows this passage very well. The passage, Jesus was interacting with a young Pharisee named Nicodemus. And remember, Nicodemus had come to Jesus and asked this question, basically wondering who Jesus was and those sort of things. And Jesus makes this very profound statement. Unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we saw that initially one has to receive this new birth to be saved. And Nicodemus didn't quite get this. He thought that he needed to first go back and get in his mother's womb. And he says, how can that occur? But Jesus was teaching us here that this new birth is something that is completely and in every way something that God gives to us and works in our hearts through the workings of the Spirit and the means that He has chosen. And so I said yesterday, we are prone to take a very low view, a low man-centered view of salvation. We're prone to look at our own abilities. We're prone to think, well, then let me get born again. And that's the exact thing that Jesus is here condemning. The invisible spiritual realities that God works in our hearts through the Spirit is often confused with what we experience in our lives, right? What do I mean by that? We have the tendency, my friends, to think that our faith and our repentance are the very things that bring about the new birth or what we call regeneration. So then we confuse, is my point, that which takes place inwardly with that which comes to fruition outwardly. Simply said, if I believe in Jesus and express faith in Him, then that will bring about regeneration and the new birth. That's the common thought today. So we're at the end of the day, we're left with the impression that our faith has some inherent value that leads to our own regeneration and our own salvation. Well, the consequences of that view are huge. If you believe this, you will every time undermine and devalue the workings of the Spirit and the means that God has chosen to work with. So I start today by saying we must understand the nature of the new birth. And as all of you know, this phrase, born again, this single word, again, can also be translated from above. So it reads, born from above. Unless you are born from above, Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And that word there is translated every other place as above in the book of John. So the context supports that translation. So what Jesus is essentially saying is this, Nicodemus, unless you're born from above, you cannot perceive, you cannot understand, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the meaning there of see. You can't perceive it in your own right, in your own power. Spiritually, you're dead to it, Nicodemus. Spiritually, you are discerned to perceive the drastic need for a washing away of all the soul's impurity. And so, again and again, we have biblical writers pointing to the necessity of being what? We can give one example. Conveyed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. From being unclean to being clean. From having sin like that of crimson stain and red and dark to being washed with pure water, making us whiter than snow. You remember the language of 1 John 3:1. Behold of what country the love of the Father has been bestowed or lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. That's what's needed. The love of God to be poured from another country into our hearts to change these dead hearts that are in opposition and are in enmity with Him. And so what Jesus was essentially saying was, the situation of mankind is so utterly bad, so fallen, so corrupted, so dead in trespasses and sins, that a radical conveyance into another kingdom is necessary. An entire spiritual rebirth must occur in the heart. If you are a boy, any boys and girls listening to this today, I used to have a turtle when I was a child, and his name was Spunky. And they said that was the fastest turtle in town. Well, one morning I went up to get my turtle, and I saw him on the floor, and I pushed him along, and I put him on the floor, and he refused to move. I shoved him, I pushed him, I thumped him, I did everything, but nothing happened. Why? Because my little turtle had died. There was no life in that turtle. And there was nothing I could do about it. And you see, that is what God says is the very thing that has happened to us spiritually. We are dead. There's nothing that we can do about it either. So we could be pushed, we can be prodded. Maybe you've been trying to reach with the gospel to somebody for years now and you're amazed at their hard heart. They just refuse to believe. The reason is that they're dead in their trespasses and sins. They can't believe. 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them because he is spiritually discerned. Now, this is what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus. And he says, you're a teacher in Israel and you don't know these things? A low view of our spiritual deadness, my friends, a wrong view of our total depravity and our fallenness every time will lead to a low view of salvation, a low view of what is needed and what has to occur for us to be spiritually reborn. That will lead to a low view of anything that God has decided or set apart to effectually work this salvation in us. And as impossible as it is, humanly speaking, Jesus is teaching Nicodemus that with God it is possible. But it's something entirely in every single way out of Nicodemus's hands and out of our hands because we're fallen. We had our chance in Adam and Eve. God gave them perfect free wills. They chose the wrong way and plunged us all into sin. Therefore, we can't go back now in a sense and say, oh, I have this perfect right to do what's right. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And you see, I guess as I think about this, the great danger today is that many people are trusting in the fact that they have said the sinner's prayer, or that they have walked forward to the cross. And they'll say, but I did this on such and such a date and such a time. And that's the reason for my new birth. Well, I tend to react very strongly against that. Not only because it's a wrong view of salvation, but also because it undervalues what God is using and what He has used to save our souls. You've heard before maybe this account of a young girl. She came to her pastor one day and she said, Pastor, I'm so disturbed. I go up to this mountain Christian camp every year. And each year where everyone is asked to give their testimonies about when they were born again. And all of them would give the date and the time. When they came to me, they asked when I was born again. And it got to me. And I said to them, I know I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian as far back as I can remember. I grew up in a Christian home, but I don't know the date or the time. I can't remember exactly when all of it occurred. Now the pastor who heard this, knowing their confusion of these things, told this young girl, the next time you're around the campfire and they come around to you, tell them Friday. And if they ask which Friday, say your salvation was secured in the year AD 30 in the month of Nisan on Friday at about the sixth hour of the day when Jesus said, "It is finished." Now, what was the pastor doing? Well, of course, we're saved when we believe in the gospel, but he's impressing upon this young girl, and I take this account as very valid because he wants to impress upon us again the mighty redemptive acts of God to save our weary souls, not in us, because we are fallen, because we are dead in trespasses and sins. Dead people don't respond in and of themselves. And so Jesus was jolting the mind of Nicodemus to think about the fact and the truth of his absolute inability to enter the kingdom of heaven in his own power. And Jesus is saying, unless you're born from above, you will not see the kingdom. You see, my friends, the glorious truth about our salvation is that Jesus reaches down to us. It's not that we're climbing Jacob's ladder. It's that Jesus reaches down to us and saves our weary souls. Jesus had come at this point from heaven, right? I mean, this is the eternal Son of God. And there he is standing in front of Nicodemus. God had reached down. God had sent his only begotten Son down to us. We didn't climb up to God. We can't. We're spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. But see, when we understand what Jesus is saying here, unless I wash you, Nicodemus, unless I put this new heart within you through my spirit, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. And you see, when we understand that it is the glorious work of Christ to save our weary souls, that he is the one that says, "I will come to seek and to save that which is lost," we begin to see not only how glorious our salvation is, but we begin to see that since all the glory belongs to God alone, let us then, Lord, not only glorify you in bowing to your utter sovereignty, but let us then tend to what you have said you will work through to produce this faith in our hearts, to change our hearts, to give us new hearts, to take these hearts of stone and make them hearts of flesh, to give us hearts that truly love you. And our passion then is that all the glory would go to God alone. That's always our cause. That's the reason we exist. And today we praise the Lord for the great salvation that he has worked in our hearts through his powerful glory spirit.
So much to learn from God's Word and, well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. And we even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.